Thanks for joining us at Reveal, a Jesus-centered community. To learn more about us and what's going on, check us out on the web at www.revealvineyard.com. We hope in the minutes to come, you're able to find God, find others, and find yourself. Thanks again for listening.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Awesome. I want to start out, first of all, my name's Daniel, and I'm actually going to be giving the message today. It is like, just like he said, it's the second one in the series. And I titled the message today, Retraining Your Mind. Here at Reveal, if you notice, Reveal, Revive, everything has a re in front of it. So I figured with the message, why not just go that route as well? So the title of my message today is Retraining Your Mind. And I want to share something with you. I do believe that being vulnerable and transparent, it's just something that, it's a part of my DNA. About 2 weeks ago, I had a week-long period of time where it was just God, myself, my family was in Canada. And I haven't been by myself, and my entire family was in Canada. And during that week, I haven't felt like I've spent so much time with God in preparation. I was excited. There were so many things that he was showing me. I was learning, and as you get older, it's harder to learn. I was learning. Amen. Yeah, there he is. Thank you, Dick. Then my family gets back, and this last week, it's funny because the week when things were going good, I kept saying over and over again that was one something I took pride in it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to embrace the battlefield of life. I'm going to embrace the battlefield of life because it's only in the battles that we can have victory. And as you say that and say that and say that, and then here comes a week leading up to right now, it has been one of the most resistance-filled weeks. Not within my home, not with my wife, not with my kids. Things that would normally be normal resistance. And I don't like to over-spiritualize anything, but I do like to be very genuine and vulnerable. This all went up until late last night. And I'm going to tell you, I was running around my block trying to shake off some of the cobwebs after my wife had just prayed for me. And don't you know when you talk about things and speak about things like peace, that your peace is going to be tested? Don't you know that when you talk about things like anxiety, only one other time I've ever spoke about anxiety and worry, and I felt the most powerful resistance that I felt, and I'm going to say this in my 43 years. So I say that to say this. It all came to a head this morning when my wife woke up and she had double pink eyes. Both her eyes were swollen like she'd been in a fight. And I said, now it's personal. Now it's personal because the one person, more than anybody else, my rock, my other half, that was the person that I wanted here today. And up until that point, now she sent me a beautiful text message I read, so I wasn't just sitting over there texting during worship. She sent me something and just encouraged me. And so when I say all that, I'm telling you guys, there is something today, and it may not be for everybody, but there's something today that's for somebody that somebody else doesn't want for you to get. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you in the toughest times and the hardest moments. God, you are always there. And Lord, I pray today that as this message goes forth, God, you would open the hearts of your people, of your children, of those who call you Father, and some of those who are just visiting today. I pray that you would as well open their hearts in a way that they haven't experienced before. God, that the emptiness that they feel, that they can't explain, that they don't even like to talk about, God, that you would show them what that is today. Father, as we give, we pray that you would bless our offering. God, you too are faithful in our finances. God, we thank you because everything that we have is yours. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. You have a state of the nation. Here's my state of the nation address. According to American Psychological Association, chronic stress is linked to the 6 leading causes of death: heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents. I thought, what are accidents? Accidents happen when we're under stress, when we're under anxiety. Accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting around 40 million adults, almost 1 in every 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, anxiety disorder. 1, 2, 3, 4, anxiety disorder. 1, 2, 3, I just gave it to you. I'm not speaking that at you. 1, 2, 3, 4, anxiety disorder. There's somebody in your row, if you have more than 5 people, that's a part of that statistic. You guys are all looking around now like, who? It's not me. Is it him? Who's it? But I want to say, so as the church, we're supposed to be a place of good news. That's what we are. That's what we're meant to be. Gospel is translated in good news. So I wanted to look at it too and say, well, if that's the state of the nation, how does this translate for Christians? Research shows our faith can be an invaluable resource to help us manage the stresses of life. Most believers, however, do not fully apply key principles of the Christian faith to their life as it regards to stress management. How do we begin to change this? That's the question. I really can relate to Paul's famous line, "What I'm doing, I don't understand, for I'm not practicing what I like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate." If as a nation, what we're doing, we don't understand, for we're not practicing what we like to do, but we're doing the very thing we hate. We're doing the very thing that we hate. I want to ask you, what's the cost of our toxicity? What's the cost of us not being able to train our minds, retrain our minds, and control our minds? Here we go. According to science, so when we make a poor quality decision, when we choose to engage toxic thoughts like complaining, worrying, fear, unforgiveness and bitterness, jealousy, entitlement, "They owe me. I'm this way because they owe me for what I deserve." Victim mindset, being critical, arrogant, prideful, being condescending, lustful fantasies. Lust never tells you in the moment how you're going to feel the next morning. Lust never tells you in the morning never tells you initially how you're going to feel in the morning. Slander. I don't know if this is all right or not, but Marty will talk to me. Crap talking. We can say crap. We say crap. We say a whole lot of the worst things outside there. So crap talking. What do these things do? These kind of thoughts change according to science. I want science to be able to not be something we stay away from today, but I want it to be something that actually helps to refuel, and it's something that helps to bring even that much more strength to our faith. So these kinds of thoughts change the DNA and subsequent genetic expression, which then changes the shape of our brain wiring in a negative direction. This immediately puts the brain into protection mode, and the brain translates these poor quality toxic thoughts as negative stress. The stress then manifests in our bodies and affects our body's healing capacities. Our minds, if we don't get control of our minds, we're killing the very body that we live in. Some of you guys will recognize this saying. This is your mind. This is your mind with toxic thoughts. Now think about that for a minute. Think about picturing this in your mind, one dark thought after another dark thought after another dark thought after another dark thought, and how that begins to actually affect our body. The truth is this is not the way that God intended it to be. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So God created us in his image. And his image doesn't worry. His image doesn't fear. His image doesn't do any of those lists of things that we just looked at. That's not how God created us. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I love when science backs up the word. And it's catching up. It's catching up. Science and scripture both show that we are wired for love and optimism. It is comforting and challenging to know that negative thinking is not the norm. Negative thinking is not the norm. So often we think being overwhelmed by toxic thoughts in a toxic world that was just the way it was supposed to be. I guess it's just really hard. It's hard. I love this. Until a few decades ago, scientists viewed the damaged brain as incurable. They believed that brain damage was hopeless and untreatable, whether the effects were from stroke, cardiovascular event, traumatic brain injury, learning disabilities, traumas, PTSD, OCD, depression, anxiety, even aging. All of these causes and conditions were seen as largely irreversible. God says that we have a choice. In Deuteronomy 30:15, he says, now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. You guys say, we have a choice. Say, I have a choice. One more time, real loud. I have a choice. Oh, one more time. One, two, three. I have a choice. We have a choice. God says that we have a choice. Philippians 4:8. And before I say that, though, I want to say this. We have a choice. So how do we begin the process of retraining our minds and renewing them back to their original condition? It's possible. Philippians 4:8 says, in conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise. Things that are true, things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, lovely, and honorable. Amen. Amen. Last week, when Brent talked, and Brent did an incredible job. Brent did an incredible job last week when he brought it. He kicked it off. And one of the statements he used, he said, what comes into your mind, what comes into my mind will come out in your life. Because the first thing we have to understand is, over my mind, because I have a choice, that I am the gatekeeper of my mind. I am the gatekeeper of my mind. I am the one that's responsible for what I let in. I am the gatekeeper. I want you guys to say that. I am the gatekeeper. Here's my question. Who's keeping your gate? What are you letting in? What are you letting in? What do we let in? When we think about all those, the complaining, the worrying, all those other things we looked at, I think we can all get to a point, even myself included, where we can say, God, you know what? I'm operating at this level, and I'm pretty good. I'm pretty comfortable. I do a pretty good job of staying ahead of the game. I'm a lot better than they are. That always makes us feel a little bit better. But we can all get to the point where even the smallest of things, we have to learn to get better. And when a lot of you guys, probably about when Daniel originally moved in, a lot of us went out there to help Daniel move in. It was one of the most beautiful things when you see that you had more people there than you had to take packages off. We were waiting in line to be able to be useful and take a package off the truck and take it into his house when they moved in here a few months back. And what Daniel was Daniel was in the place, Daniel was the gatekeeper. Daniel was in the garage, and Daniel was saying, okay, that goes in the house. Okay, that goes to storage. Okay, that goes in the kids' room. Okay, he directed. He was the gatekeeper of what was coming in. And we, in the same way, have to be in the place where we say, you know what? What am I letting in? What am I letting in? This thought? No. You're staying in storage. You're going away. This thought? No. You're not coming. This thought? You. Come on in. In the rooms of our house, what do we let in? Because if we're not careful what we let in, it truly is a matter of life and death. Go ahead and run that video for me. See where the tunnel ends. The rabbit hole. You bring the lights back up. It was a 15-second little video. The rabbit hole. You can turn the lights back on. Or if you watch it again, it's only 15 seconds. Yeah, he's still in the hole. Yeah, where did he go? So I'm going down the rabbit hole. So first of all, I have to be the gatekeeper. I am the gatekeeper of my mind. Secondly, I am the manager of my mind. I am the manager. It's my job to manage my thoughts. Say, I am the manager. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Okay, and a lot of us understand that. Brent used this actual verse last week as well. We talk about the rabbit hole. We sometimes know, and we have to get used to managing our thoughts, that when I'm starting to go down the rabbit hole, I see it. I know that it's negative. I know that I shouldn't be thinking this way. I know that worry, God says worry is not something that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that hopelessness is not the thing that's not God's best for me. I know that everything that comes against his word and his perfect image is something I have to stay away from. But for some reason, gossip, it entices us. Fear, it entices us. Complaining, it entices us. Till we get to the bottom of the rabbit hole, we start to put ourselves in a prison. If we're not careful with what thoughts that we choose to go down the rabbit hole with, you will put yourself in a place of depression, a place of anxiety, a place of hopelessness. This is not God's best. He didn't design it for me to be locked up. And many of us like to, not only we'd like to go down the rabbit hole, but then we take someone with us. Like, hey, come on, let's talk about some people. Come on down. Come down here. Yeah. And they take you down that hole as well. We have to start saying, and say this with me, I don't want to go down your rabbit hole. I don't want to go down your rabbit hole. And say, I love you, but I'm not going down your rabbit hole with you. I love you, but I'm not going to think that way with you. I love you, but I am not going to allow for myself to be exposed to your rabbit hole. I'm the gatekeeper. Silence is awkward for some people, but I like silence. Marty just rambles. He not rambles. No, but he goes, he flows so fast. No. I'm sorry. Hey, don't run that back. Don't delete that. Marty. No. Oh, gosh. All right. So, yeah, I know. Thanks. Yeah. We're going to record the next one. So, Marty can talk off the top of his head, talk. He can go. He can flow. I like to absorb. I'm a thinker, and I like to absorb. So don't feel awkward in those silent moments, because I don't. So I am the gatekeeper. I am the manager. It's my job to manage what I do. And I think some of us today, need to make a statement to say, this mind is under new management. This mind is under new management. I am the gatekeeper. I am the manager. I am the answer. I'm the answer. Romans 12:2, one of my favorite verses, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Science says it's possible. We have no excuse not to make it happen. It says, then when we renew our minds, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Once again, science backs it up. This is powerful. It's a profound and eye-opening thought to realize something seemingly immaterial like a belief. My beliefs affect my behavior. My beliefs affect my behavior. A belief can take on a physical existence as a positive or negative change in ourselves. And you are in control of all this. The choices, I have a choice, you made today not only impact your spirit, your soul, and your body, but also impact the next four generations. Say that if I don't get control of my thoughts, guess who is going to have to try and go through the same things? It is in our DNA. We pass down the way that we think. We pass down the way that we shape our lives. We pass down these things to our children as well. God has built in the operating principle of the neurogenius. This is pretty cool. Nerve cells are birthed daily for our mental benefit. That means when it says the mercy of the Lord is new every day. In Lamentations, it talks about that. Every day, God gives me a fresh set of cells that I can start to choose in the garage what I do. What do I do with those cells? Do I create toxicity out of them? Or do I start to create foundations that were made in God's image? Once again, renewing the mind is possible. How long will it take? Science, we've all heard this, but scientifically it shows, and there is an up and down within there. It's not that I commit here, I go here. But about the fourth or fifth day, you're excited about, I've studied all this stuff. About the seventh day, you start to dump down and get depressed. This is why we don't make it to a New Year's resolution beyond 2 weeks. And then there's another high, and then it goes low, and then we're like, nah, we don't make it to the 21 days. But it says, after 21 days, you now have something self-sustaining that can be built upon. Now you've laid the foundation for new and permanent habits to be formed. 21 days from today just happens to be our pool party. 21 days from today, we're having the pool party at the aquatic is the Surprise Aquatic Center. Will the next 21 days make any difference? What will change? I believe that the greatest opportunity that we have, because what does it all come back down to? You heard so many messages about think this, don't think that. Think this, don't think that. Think this, don't think that. What God has shown me, and this is the most powerful part of everything. This is what God has given me. And I believe that this is what he wants to keep. What has to change is our identity. Daniel, come on up if you would. What has to change is the way that we see ourselves. Because it's not what God thinks about me that makes a difference. It's how I think about I messed that up. It's how that I think that God thinks about me that makes a difference. So it's not what God thinks about me that makes a difference. It's how I think that God thinks about me that makes the difference. Science says it's possible. God has always said it's possible. How I think that God thinks about me will make it possible. Last week, Brent talked about neural pathways, of creating new neural pathways in our brain, that we have the ability to stop walking down the rabbit holes of life. We have the ability to stop walking down the rabbit holes and start to create new paths. And I feel that everything, keep it going, Daniel. I feel that everything comes to this. I didn't want to send you off today without a plan. I didn't want to send you off today without giving you something that has been the toil of my soul over the last month. I didn't want to send you away and say, just go out and give it your best shot. I wanted to give you something, and it's up to you to do it because you have a choice. But I wanted to give you something today. And what this does, it's right here. A lot of times people say, well, you're going to find your identity in God's word. And it's all in here. It's all in here. Every marriage problem, every how to parent your child problem, every how to not murder your teenager problem. The source of everything that we need is found in here, but our identity is also found in here. My identity is found here. So what I've done is I've taken this. There's just no room for it up here. I don't get upset. I'm putting it on the ground. It's okay. God created the ground. I've created this for you guys today. Now, I want you to do, and I created different ways. We recorded this professionally in the studio for you. We put it on paper because I want you guys, once you get this, and you're going to get it in a minute, I want you to be able to take this and I want you to have a copy of it. And I want you to be able to start to speak this into your kids' lives. I recorded this for my son, who's in Canada, who is going through a lot of turmoil. He's an actor. He's a 14-year-old kid who's about to get famous really, really soon, in the next month or so. And this 14-year-old kid was having problems with his mind. Probably the only one at 14 that's having problems with his mind. But I realized the one thing that I could do was I had the power, once I got a hold of this, that I could speak the way that God thought about him into his little life. And I said, God, if I knew this a long time ago, if I knew this when I was growing up, if I knew this when I was raising my oldest son, things would have been a lot different. But we forget the past and we move on. So I give this to you today. And I'm telling you, there's power in God's word. And I want you guys to go ahead and stand with me for you, just for a minute. Everybody bow your head if you would. I'm going to give you guys the opportunity here in just a second. I've got these here. And every head bowed in reverence to God, respect for God. I've got two piles here. And I'm telling you, the resistance that's been put against me in the last 24 hours, God does not. There's nothing that God wants more for you to have this, but there's somebody else that does not want you to start to understand who you are. I'm going to give you guys the opportunity, because a lot of times creating new pathways are awkward. But every change starts with a step. Our lives, our children's lives, and the next four generations are depending on it. What's most important in God's word is not the do's and the don'ts of his word, although it's all important, but it's understanding how God sees you and how much he loves you that really matters. If you're afraid, it's time to start creating new pathways. And what I want you to do is I have a gift for you at the end, something that my son was putting together late last night for you. His computer crashed after working on it for hours tirelessly. And he spent all night. He called me this morning. He said, Dad, here it is. I've got it. I'm sorry it's late, but I've got it. So I want you to come up. I'm going to give you a moment. Daniel's going to sing a song. Something that you want to stay where you're at and reflect, that's fine. I know this is uncomfortable, but I was going to take a risk this morning. Once you grab one, I want you just to gather in these areas. I want you just to come up and stand, and I've got something for you. So I want to give you a moment between you and God. Once you grab it, come up and just hold it. Don't start reading it. Just hold it. And then we'll go from there. So grab someone by their arm, step out, come out. If you need to, grab one and just start to gather. Go ahead, Daniel. So here it is. This is the moment. This is what it is that I believe every single day for the next 21 days. You guys can do it 3 times a day. It's 5 minutes. A lot of times if I go through it once and I don't get it the first time, I'm going to let it get in there. Sometimes, just like little kids, we have to force feed ourselves things that we don't like. So some of us are going to have to force feed this. So we're saying, I wasn't really feeling it. I just wasn't feeling it. No. Keep pushing it down. Keep chewing. Because this has the ability to recreate your mind into the way that God originally created you. Go ahead and play that video. Receive this. Everybody focus just on this.
Good morning. As you head into your day, remember that this is how God sees you. Let your maker be your mirror. Confident, you are strong and mighty.
Turn it up, please. You have
the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of your body. Your life is a defender of moral excellence in a world of darkness. Your past, your mistakes, or what you did or didn't do does not define you. You are who God says you are. And he says you are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are an overcomer, and you can handle it. He says you were free, and you were able to stay free from toxic and unhealthy behaviors. Equipped. The weapons that you fight with are not the weapons of this world. The weapons that are available to you are directly from God himself and have the power to smash, to crush, and destroy any negative patterns of thought that have been built into your thought life.
Amen.
Mindset. You have the mind of Christ, which looks at life from God's point of view. His mindset directs your thoughts because you have his values. All people matter to you because you know that all people matter to God. You share Jesus' perspective of humility, compassion, and a daily dependence on God the Father. You will take control over what you think about and aggressively coach your mind in line with the standards of God's Word. Worry and anxiety are not your masters,
nope.
And you will choose to trust God in all circumstances, and you will remain at peace at all times. He promises you that his peace will guard your heart, your mind, and your soul in Jesus' name. Fear, the Lord is your helper, and there is no reason to be afraid. Your God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-control, and of a sound mind. You are not a slave to your bad habits or a prisoner to an addiction. You have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's light. Favored, you are chosen, you are called, you're empowered, and you are the masterpiece of God. You've been recreated in Christ Jesus to do great works which God prepared for you to do long ago. Your God will bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will flourish and thrive in every good work. Protected. Your God is for you, and he's always with you. Therefore, nothing that is seen or unseen that tries to bring harm against you will ever be successful. Period. Loved. Most importantly, your greatest purpose in this life is not what you do or what you accomplish or how successful you are. Your number one purpose in this life is to be loved by God. You were created to be loved by God. He created the universe, to create the solar system, to create the planets, to create Earth, to create you, to love you. And nothing can separate you from his incredible love for you. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not even the worst sins listed in his word. Absolutely nothing can get in between you and God's love because of the way that Jesus, your master, has embraced you. Have a wonderful day and know that this is how your Creator sees you.
Give it up, you guys. Give it up. Put your hands together. Put your hands together. Not for me, but to give God glory. I want to tell you guys, I am telling you, if some of you guys are like, man, that didn't taste so good. No.
Good morning. As you head.
Oh, I thought I was hearing things. Becoming a 1, 2, 3, 4 anxiety disorder. I want to tell you guys as we leave today that I'm pleading with you. I've experienced it myself. I've been pouring this into myself. There's hope. On that actual, on the back of it, I have my number. I have my email. Brent last week wanted to make sure no one had it. He said, you didn't have an email. I have an email. So you guys can all call. You guys can send me complaints, whatever you want to do. So be it. I don't always answer emails, but. So you can email me. If today you want the link to the video, we're going to be putting the link to the video on the website. We're all going to be also going to be putting the link to the audio on the website. And I don't care if you like my voice or my face or not. I want it to be able to, when you're not, I want it to be able to speak over and over and over and over and over again. Start to rewire the things in our brains because science says it's possible. We can do it. We can do it. All that we have to do is do the work. We have a choice. The more you put it in, the more you're going to get out of it. Get it on, if you want, if you send me anybody, I don't care if I get 300 text messages today. I'll respond to every single one of them with the link. That's my commitment to you. I want you to be able to get this in you. It's a matter of life or death. It's more a matter of life. Amen. Let me pray for you guys and we'll get you out of here. Heavenly Father, we put your hand on somebody's shoulder too if you feel it. We're family. God, I thank you for this honor today to be able to come and speak your word and share your promises, God, and just be a conduit of the things that you've poured in my heart. And I pray, God, that those things would touch the hearts of your people today. Father, as they go, Lord, I pray that as they go, God, that you would give them, just like they've taken a step today, God, that they would continue to take a step every single day. When life starts to get the better of them, when life starts to tell them what they're not, that they would turn around and say that life may tell me I'm not, but life is not my mirror. My maker is my mirror. My maker is my mirror. God, strengthen your people. We thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Bless us as we go. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's saints said, amen. You guys, give someone a hug on the way out. Have an incredible rest of your day, and God bless you.